Amen. The book of Romans, chapter 1, that's where we are. Now, we got through the first two verses. I'll read them to you again since it's easy to get to from here. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before or afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. It's been promised since the beginning. The good news, the gospel, good news, and it's God's good news. Now, I want to go on from there, continuing in verse 3 this way. The good news, which was promised before by the prophets in the Bible, in the Holy Scriptures, is concerning his Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. What does the good news concern? It concerns Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what the good news concerns. The word concern comes from the Greek word peri. If you want to put it in Americanize it, it would be P-E-R-I, peri. And it means to be on all sides, or to be around, or in today you might say to surround, peri. And we use that in our language. We use that Greek word in our language. We put it with other words. For instance, we have the word periscope. Periscope. And maybe you've seen pictures or movies, or maybe you've been on submarines, where they'll come up near the surface, the periscope goes up just above the water level, and they can take it and do a turn, 360-degree turn, and they can see from that periscope all the way around if there's anything out there. It's a periscope. It means to be around or on all sides of, or to literally surround. We also use the word in a mathematics term, perimeter. One of my algebra teachers that I couldn't understand algebra, thank you very much. I still don't. But the teacher would look at me and say, Bob, repeat it after me. Perimeter means around, all the way around. I still never got that, but she would tell me. Perimeter, periscope. It means to surround or to be all around. Now, why am I telling you that? Because the word concerning means the gospel that was promised, that has been preached all through the scriptures, completely surrounds his Son, Jesus Christ. The gospel is about Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, fully man, fully God, went to the cross at Calvary according to the will of God, was nailed to the cross, bled there, suffered and died, and was buried. But he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. He ascended after he rose again and was seen by witnesses. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he will come back again in glory to judge the living and the dead. The gospel completely surrounds Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what the gospel is all about. That's what he's telling you here. And Jesus was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Born of a virgin, that young girl Mary, she was about 15 years old when she was pregnant with the Messiah. She had no husband. This was a miracle. Girls, don't even try it to get away with it now. It's not going to happen again. Hasn't happened before. Will not happen again. The Messiah, the only begotten Son of God. But he came through the lineage of David. His mother being Mary, his father being God Almighty. Through the lineage of David, the Messiah. And he had to come through that lineage. That was the promise. And to sit on the throne, to be the rightful heir to the throne, he must come through the line of David, and he has. And now he's got the authority to sit on the throne of David forever and ever. King of kings, Lord of lords, and we read of his kingdom, there shall be no end. That's the Jesus we're talking about. The gospel concerns Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Meaning, he was fully man. He was born of that virgin young lady, there in a city called Bethlehem. There was no room for them because Caesar had wanted a census taken so that people could be taxed. So Joseph had to take his espoused wife Mary for a 90-mile donkey ride. I have never been 9 months pregnant. But I have talked to some ladies who have. And I don't think that a 90-mile ride on a donkey is one of the things that you really prefer. Because the baby is due any moment. I know people were worried. Joseph kept saying, I know this is Messiah. I know it's a miracle. And we live in Nazareth. And Messiah has to be born in Bethlehem. I don't know why he's going to do that. And Mary's thinking to herself, Messiah must be born in Bethlehem. But we're nowhere close to Bethlehem. And I'm going to have a baby anytime. And there's no way I could get to Bethlehem. But Caesar took care of that. And decided to make it decree. I want everyone to be counted, a census. And I want you counted in the hometown where your family comes from. City of David, Bethlehem. Joseph, through the lineage of David, they bring Jesus down. What a tough trip for Mary. But when you read it, it only takes a second. So you think, oh, Mary, what's her whining? Come on, what a weak woman. Hey, it's a long trip. But according to the seed, he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Jesus Christ was. We read this in verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. How was he declared to be the Son of God? By power according to the Spirit of holiness. How was he declared? By the resurrection from the dead. Let me say that in English, in American. I don't speak English, in American. The resurrection proves everything. You want to know if Jesus Christ is really the Son of God? You have friends who say, I don't know if I believe in this Jesus or not. You say, the resurrection is the proof he is the living God. The Son of God in human flesh. The resurrection. Why do you think Satan is so trying to debunk this whole resurrection? Hey, the Buddhists, when they worship in their own way, they are not expecting Buddha to return because he didn't rise from the dead. They are waiting for the fifth Buddha. The Krishnas are not expecting Hari, Mr. Krishna. They're not expecting Krishna to come back because he didn't rise from the dead and never claimed that he would, never claimed that he did. Those who follow Confucius, whoever you want to pick, you just pick somebody. None of them have risen from the dead. And God says in Romans chapter 1 verse 4, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now you see why Satan wants to convince people that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. They said, give us a sign, Jesus. Give us a sign. You threw people out of the temple. You're doing all these things. By what authority do you do these? Give us a sign to show us. And Jesus said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given you except the sign of Jonah the prophet. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth. Jonah was spit up on the shore at Nineveh. Jesus walked out of that tomb, was gone, was risen from the dead. That's the sign to show the whole world. And there is so much proof that Jesus Christ is alive. So much proof. More scientific proof that Jesus Christ is alive, then there is scientific proof that you exist right now. And what are people saying? I don't believe it. It's true. Notice, though, what the resurrection did. It declared Jesus to be the Son of God. It proved Jesus is the Messiah. He was fully man, and he was fully God. There has been none like him since. There will be none again. You are not a little God. You are completely human. But Jesus was fully human and fully God. God in human flesh. But this declared him to be the Son of God. Notice, it didn't make him the Son of God. See the difference? A lot of people believe that Jesus became the Son of God. and then rose from the dead. No, Jesus has always been the Son of God. You know, God has always existed. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Before there were angels, before the earth was created, before the heavens, before anything was, God. Now, the first four words of the Bible, 1, 2, 3, 4, first four words of the Bible say that, don't they? In the beginning, God. See, when God started this whole idea, He already existed before it. He has always been God. Jesus has always been God the Son. The resurrection declared Him, proved that He was God the Son. Didn't make Him God the Son. He's always been God the Son. You and I don't think in eternal terms. We can't. We're not built that way. And so everything we do is a timeline. Something had its beginning here and had its ending over here. Its birthday was there. Its death day is there. It started there. And it's going to end over there. But you see, it doesn't work for eternity. People ask, how long is eternity? Well, it's not. It just is. There is no measuring it because it has no beginning and has no end. Even, you know, you don't even have to teach children timelines because many times a little bitty one will come up to you and say, Mom or Dad, when did God start? Because see, to them, as soon as they're able to begin to even simple logic, it had to start somewhere. Because that's it, because everything does. No, eternity doesn't. And God doesn't. God has inhabited eternity for all times. Jesus didn't become the Son of God. He was the Son of God. Now that helps you understand the passage in Isaiah, which says, unto us a son is born. I'm sorry, unto us, thank you. A child is born, unto us a son is given. The child is born. He became human flesh. But the son was given. He was always the son, and he came. Does it make sense? And the gospel has been preached from the beginning, and it's good news. And the resurrection declared clearly, without a doubt, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. No one else could be. No one else in the world of all history before or all history to come. No one could be the Messiah except Jesus Himself. And the proof? The resurrection from the dead. He's alive. The God we follow, the Messiah we serve, is alive. He has risen from the dead. He has ascended to heaven. And He sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come back again and judge the living and the dead, and of His kingdom, the Bible says, there will be no end. So, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom, Jesus, we have received grace and apostleship. We've received grace and apostleship. Oh, it's hard to say. For obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. Obedience to the faith among all nations. We're going to walk in obedience so that all others can see among all nations by whom we receive grace and apostleship. Do you not understand grace, the word itself? Grace means unmerited favor or blessing. Undeserved, unearned favor. God saw that you needed help. All mankind. And God gave us grace. Let's pretend for a moment. Don't visualize. Just pretend you're on a plane. And we're headed from, let's pick LA this time. Headed from LA to Hawaii. Sounds like a smart thing to do, doesn't it? About, let's just round off our numbers. Let's say it's about approximately 2,000 miles. Rounded off. Are you with me so far? Using big numbers. Okay. Now, on the way to Hawaii, right at about the 1,000 mile point, the plane goes down. But we're not dead. We're all alive in the water. So now, it is 1,000 miles to Hawaii, and it is 1,000 miles to go back. What's going to happen to us? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'll say that in American. For all were on the plane, and the plane went down, and all are in the water, and have come short of the shore of Hawaii. how are you going to get to Hawaii? Or how are you going to get back? Some of you say, I'm pretty tough. I can swim. Go for it. You got 1,000 miles in either direction. You call. What's going to happen to you? You know what's going to happen to you. Every one of us knows we're going to die. You can tread water as long as you want. You can swim any distance you choose, and you will go toes up. And every one of you knows if that plane is down and you're in the water and there's 1,000 miles in each direction, every one of you knows there is only one hope for everyone in the water. And what's that hope? That someone comes to pick you up. And if someone does not come out there to pick you up, there is no chance. And the Bible says just that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can't go there, and you can't go there. And if someone doesn't come, someone to save you, you have no hope. That's what grace is. God shows up, says, whoa, looks like an accident. Everybody get in the boat. Anybody that wants to get in. No thanks, dude. I'm swimming. Okay, anybody else? Get in the boat. Now you're in the boat. And you notice what I notice about getting in the boat. I don't particularly care what direction he picks to go in at this point. I'm just grateful to be in the boat, man. I mean, you want to go on Hawaii? Fine. You want to go back? Fine. I don't care. I'm in. Thank you for getting me in the boat. You just take it from here. Grace. Unmerited favor. Undeserved. Unearned. Wow. And look. By whom we have received grace and apostleship. Now, he doesn't mean all of us are official apostles. There were only a few of those. But the word apostle also means ones who are sent. And every one of us has been sent into the place where we work, into the place where we live, into the place where we shop, into the world to preach the gospel. Sometimes you get to use words, sometimes you only use actions, but you're going to be telling about your faith, about the good news. And so he says, we've received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. We want to follow Jesus now. We're in his boat. It doesn't matter if he takes us on or takes us back this way. It doesn't matter if he's got another path and wants to head on down to South America. It doesn't matter. We're in the boat. We have been saved. We have a Savior now. He loves us. And for no good reason, he came out there and picked up anybody that wanted in the boat. Among whom are you also the called by Jesus Christ? The fight about who's called and who's not rages today, still, among church people. Who's called and who's not? Someone says to me, I don't know if I'm called. I say, do you want Jesus? They say, yeah. Well, then let's pray. And they pray, and then you look at them and go, see, you were called. You are right now. Some people teach that some are elect, and they are elected to go to heaven. And some are elected to go to hell. And they have no choice. And so those people usually say, so there's no reason to preach the gospel. Because the ones that are going to go to hell have to go and they have no choice. Well, that's not the Bible. So if you're worried about being called, all you have to do is accept Jesus today. And then we'll look at you and go, oh, yeah, you're called. You ask Jesus in your life, you're called. Well, he says, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ? Those of you that are born again, you've been called. He came out there with his boat, plucked you up out of the water, put you in the boat. You're with him now. He's the captain. He knows just what's going on. He'll take care of it. Now, he says, I'm writing this to all that be in Rome. Remember this to the church at Rome there. Beloved of God. Now, you can mark that in your Bible. That means God loves you. God loves you. Have you asked Jesus Christ into your life? You have a special place now in the heart of God. He loves you. I know you're thinking he's mad at you. You're beloved of God. And God's called you. And he says, now I'm writing to all of you that are in Rome, beloved of God. Called to be saints. To be is not in the original manuscript, so we could read it like this. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. What's a saint? Now, people will tell you, it depends on the church you go to. The Bible says a saint is anyone who is born again. So we could call you Brother Saint Bob, Sister Saint Helen, or Mount Saint Helen. Sister, yeah. Sounds funny. I used to call Larry Taylor Brother Saint Dr. Pastor Larry Taylor. It's a long title, but it works. Are you a saint? You sure don't act like it. And aren't you glad it's by grace? Yeah, you're a saint if you are born again. You're one of the saints. Some churches teach that to be a saint, you have to really live a good life. Jesus did that, no one else. And also, you have to be dead at a certain point. We're headed. We're working our way toward that. And then you have to have three verifiable miracles under your belt. Provable miracles, got to be a minimum of three. Two, you're not saint stuff. That's not scriptural. The Bible says you are called saints. That's what you are. John Kirsten tells about a little boy at a church. The church had large stained glass windows in it. And interestingly enough, I don't know what church it was, but they had a stained glass image of Saint Peter, Saint John, St. Paul. Why those three? I don't know. I just, maybe somebody, you know, whatever. And the little boy would look at that, and when the sun would come through those windows, what a beautiful color. Brightly the sun would come through, and he'd look around, and it would shine on you, and you'd see the reds and the greens, and it was beautiful. And he would love to see the sun shining through those big old stained glass things, pictures or windows of saints. One day at Sunday school, the teacher asked her class, and he was there, "Can someone tell me, what are saints?" And the little boy raised his hand and said this, "They're people who the light shines through." Now think about it, because he was right. Saints are just people who the light shines through. They're not people who have lived great lives. They're not people who have miracles under their belt. They may, but not necessarily. And you're alive, semi, right? But you're a saint. That's what the Bible teaches you. And we read this: to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, remember that God loves you, called saints. You know, there are going to be times when the enemy is going to tell you God doesn't love you. And you have to say this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. How do you know God loves you? Because your car runs? Because the weather's great? Because your checkbook is finally balancing? Because everything's going your way? No, no. How do I know Jesus loves me? How do I know God loves me in Jesus? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Can you remember that? Somebody says, "Oh man, that's childlike." I go, "Yeah, little ones to him belong." "Oh, you're weak." "Yeah, they are weak, but he's strong." "Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, he loves me." How do I know? The Bible says so. Not everybody else that likes me, not everything that's going my way, not everything around the world, whether it's good or bad, but because God's word said so. You are beloved, and God loves you. That's what he says. And it's grace, unmerited favor. You're called saints. And he says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Peace from God, which carries the connotation not only from, but also in or with. And I'm not stretching on that, because let me read you Romans 5:1. We'll get there and we'll do this again. But Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This peace from God also includes peace with him. Once you ask Jesus into your life, you are not an enemy of the Lord God. You are beloved in Jesus Christ. God loves you. And you're supposed to be taking his word for it, not by just looking around at what's going on. Who cares what's going on? If one moment things are great, don't worry, that'll pass. You know that. If one moment you're able to pay all your bills and you have leftover money, don't worry, IRS is coming soon. You don't need to think, well, this is great, God loves me. No, it's not based on that. It's based on the fact that Jesus came, got you, put you in his boat. You're now no longer sinking. And wherever he takes you is going to be perfect. You belong to him. And you've been saved. And you can say, Jesus loves me. I know it. How do you know? Man, your life's a mess. You're falling apart. People hate you. Yeah, but God's word says so. Now, notice that we read peace from God. Not only the peace from God, but it includes peace with God. Now, many of you believe that God is upset with you. You're Christians, but you do believe God's upset with you. You know, let's be honest, you haven't really been in the Word like you should. You haven't read your Bible the last couple of months, maybe 3 months. You've never owned a Bible, been saved 20 years, but you just don't have time for that. And you know God's a little upset with that. Many areas in your life that are just plain out of control, they're not according to what God would want. You know that. And so you're figuring God's upset with you. Oh, you know, you're not really doing much for God. Not really. You just don't have time. Work is taking all your time. You're trying the family and you're not doing much for God. And it's just falling apart around you. And you don't get along with your wife that well. You don't get along with your husband. You're not sure you get along with the kids. Matter of fact, you're starting to learn that for some reason you don't get along with anybody. Something's just up. And you know God's upset with you. But the Bible says God loves you. And that you have received grace and peace from God and peace with God. But you don't believe it. You're starting to believe the enemy. And you think, oh, God's mad at me. I haven't read my Bible this week. God's upset with me. I haven't really been doing all I can to spread the gospel. As a matter of fact, I'm nervous and I don't ever say nothing about the gospel. So God's probably upset with me. Let me give you a little example that I've written down here. I know this never happens to you, but this is just hypothetical. You've had a long, tiring day. Never happens to us, I know. Everything at work was just absolutely a mess. I mean, it's just not going right. You're not sure. You're thinking, this is crazy. I'm going to crack up. You get home. The kids had gone to the harvest festival, and they are filled with sugar, and they're stuck to the ceiling, and are screaming and yelling, and you're thinking, Lord, they're demon-possessed. Something's wrong. And you say to your wife right away, you start yelling at her. Or if you're the wife, you start yelling at your husband, what's wrong with these kids? They're your kids. They look like you. They act like you. I am sick and tired of this, and I'm going to join the circus. And then work is, you've never seen work so stressing you out in your life. And you think, literally, I'm going to have to kill somebody. And you think, wait a minute. You know what? I ought to just pray. I mean, just stop a minute. I better pray. And then, that's when you hear this voice. This voice. Not out loud. It's just you're talking to yourself, you think, and the voice says, pray. Oh, yeah. Now that things are tough, pray. But hey, when things were going great, you didn't pray. Pray, you're going to pray now, huh? Well, holy, holy you. Oh, all earth should be filled with your glory. Oh, Lord, I'm beautiful. Now, when there's a little trouble, you wimp. Now you want to pray. You haven't read your Bible today. Your attitude towards your kids and towards your families absolutely stinks. At work, you said things and did things that were not acceptable for you. But now you want to pray when you feel like you need help. Who's that? Who's talking to you? And so you say, yeah, you're right. I better not pray. I haven't been reading my Bible. I haven't really been. It's really been a lousy day. I mean, you can't even tell I'm saved today. So, yeah, I probably shouldn't pray. That wasn't God. What does God's word say? I love you. You come to me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Call unto me, and I will answer you. I'll teach you. I'll strengthen you. You come to me. I love you. Now, are you going to believe what God's word says, or are you going to believe what's going on all around you? The Bible says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That would have been an excellent time to pray. when you're feeling like, that's all I can stand, I can't stand no more, I'm cracking up, stop and pray. And when the enemy says, man, you are unworthy, you say, that's exactly right. But Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I have peace with my God, because Romans chapter 5 tells me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now go to the next verse. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He cares about what's going on. God loves you. And if you will listen to him, he will give you the strength to actually read your Bible and do those things. But understand that those aren't the things making him like you. Those aren't the things making him bless you. It's not because you've been doing so well this week that you've gotten blessed. No, he blesses you because he's God. God is good. When you go to Africa, you'll talk to the Christians, and they have a saying, and they say it over throughout Kenya, throughout Uganda, and now throughout Sudan, and you'll hear them. You'll see it even written. They'll say, God is good all the time. And they say that. And you look and there are people starving to death. There are bombs falling out of the sky. There's automatic gunfire going off. And the people are dying and they're suffering. And you say, man, do you think God has left you? Oh no, God is good. God loves us. But if you brought any help, we accept that too. You know that faith is simply saying, this is what God's word says. It's what I'll believe. Now, God's not asking you to be stupid or ignorant. There are times when people say, well, step out in faith. Hey, walk with the Lord your God. Of course, step out in faith, but don't be foolish. I've heard people say, well, God healed me. I believe he could do that. So I tell them immediately, great, go to your doctor. Go straight to your doctor. Do not pass go. Do not collect any kind of thing. Go to your doctor. And if God has healed you, your doctor will say it out loud. He'll tell you. And God's not ashamed or embarrassed. He'll tell you. Many people say, well, God healed me, and so I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Hey, when God heals you, he'll let you know it, and it'll be, everybody will know it. Your doctor, the nurses, everybody, you can yell it throughout the community. Don't be ashamed. I see many people hurt themselves. But there's one thing I want you to know. As you read your Bible, you need to begin to, by God's Holy Spirit, believe what it says. When God says he loves you, you believe it. Why would he? Nobody knows. I mean, we were in the plane. It went down. We were in the water. Why would he have to come and get us? Because he loves us. Why? No good reason. He just does. Don't ask why in a case like that. Just say, I'm getting in the boat. Thank you. And I'm telling you, after you've been there and you're drowning and you realize what a dangerous position you were in, you're going to say, when Jesus says, well, what do you think? You say, man, wherever you head, just put the sail up and wherever you head, that's where I want to go to, because just I don't want to get back in the water. He saved my life. You pray. You seek the Lord. Understand that he loves you. When you start to really understand he loves you, you will notice you'll start to have more of a hunger for his word. You'll start to have more of a desire to want to walk with him and listen to him. But if you keep thinking he's mad at you, you have a desire to hide from him, cheat him, try to do good and fumble and fail and blow it. Instead, you, beloved of God, are called saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. He loves you. Let's bow our heads together.